Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. I'm Jerry, Max and Terry are here. We're putting in our time. We're punching the time card. It's time to record. Are we excited to record? We're excited to talk to each other about stuff, but I don't know if we're excited to actually delve in to the Toffee Blue world. It's not a fantastic time to be an Everton supporter. It could be a lot worse, this weekend wasn't great. So before we end up, exposing our pain to the world, anybody got anything they want to declare to start us off on the old introduction before we get started?
10 years ago today, Gosling Derby. One of the best days of your life.
It was good stuff.
I actually have heard you speak of this before.
I think
many times.
I've watched that clip about 10 times today.
Yeah.
The roar.
It was so sweet, that win, just because of everything that went with it. Like, earlier that season in the league, one of the league games, I think Everton had got a draw against Liverpool or something like that, and Benitez came out and he basically said, "Oh, when you're a small club, you go, you try and you like defend out these games." Us trying to see out a game when we've got a point is being a small club, and it was just Benitez being frustrated and being a bit of an idiot. But because he said small club, every single Liverpool supporter has latched onto that forever. Despite the fact that it shows a staggering lack of knowledge about English football to suggest, if you think Everton are a small club, you don't get football, you don't get English football. I'm going to give Benitez the benefit of the doubt and think what he meant was, I don't know. I would like to think he didn't mean small club. I'd like to think he just meant, smaller or weaker team or whatever. He was still being insulting, but I don't think he was being stupid. But then it was sweet because a few weeks later we won that derby, the Gosling Derby, in extra time, and he was trying to see the game out. Despite it being small club behaviour, by his own logic, to try and see a game out, he was room for penalties. He was trying to basically take the draw, as it were, and get through to penalties rather than try and win the game, which is apparently what you're meant to do if you're a big club.
Yeah.
So not only did we beat Liverpool, which is always nice, remember that, but we rammed it down the throat of Benitez, who tried to belittle us because we took a point off him earlier in the season.
Yeah. That's good. See, that's good. It's actually nice to actually think about stuff that's not happening right now.
No.
I'm fine with that. I saw somebody had posted a compilation of goals from it was Martinez era, and it was just the passes were pinging around and we're getting goals from several different locations. It looked nice in the video, but I'm sitting there thinking, I lived through that.
Yeah,
the highlight was nice, but I lived through the rest.
I know.
Let's go ahead and move on. Get to the rest of the podcast. For the people listening via podcast, we've got to start by reacting to whatever the hell that was on Saturday. If you're clueless as to what I'm talking about, you've been living under a rock. 3-1 loss to Wolves. And it only gets better from here. Wednesday, Play City. So we've got a match preview coming your way, and then we'll follow that up with a starting 11 segment, and we'll finish with a quiz, which won't be too painful, and we'll actually be celebrating these brainiacs that I get to talk to twice a week. Maybe talking about Everton players that aren't here right now, that actually seem like they, I don't know, some of them actually seem like they wanted to be here. Gents. So Max, really lackluster, apathetic match sort of punctuated. It's the high point is Andre Gomez blasting one near post. That was nice. But, I mean, are we talking about, I mean, it just seems like it's starting to become the same thing over and over again. We talking about a lack of motivation, lack of ideas? Is this a tactics issue or is this a talent thing? I mean, what the hell is going on?
I know there are a lot of variants that could be possibly be wrong, but just purely from a game basis, I think that's what you get for starting two aging fullbacks against, you know, a team that play a three back the way that Wolves do. You know, the way they fly high, the constant pressure from the wing backs. Baines and Coleman couldn't cope, and you could tell that straight from the off when Baines gave away the penalty. And I just think that set the tone for the afternoon. We were pretty much played off the park, with the exception in that period where Andre Gomez brought us level. But yeah, I think when did Espirito Santo take over Wolves? I think it was something like 2 years ago. So, you know, fingers crossed we were playing like that after 2 years under Silva. But the, as you say, from an Everton perspective, the fact that it's the same thing, it's always from set pieces, I think it calls for a change in manager personnel, but I think Marco Silva has to make a drastic change in that. Try a new formation, new personnel, just something to you know, actively show that, okay, I hold my hands up and acknowledge the zonal marking thing isn't working. We're getting ripped apart by teams that are well drilled and that have had their manager for a longer period of time than what I've been at Everton. So, yeah, as I say, there's got to be some sort of change now, particularly. I mean, I know it's no let up with it being Manchester City and Everton being Everton, given the circumstances, will probably put in a decent performance. But City's up next, and you should hope, you know, fingers crossed, and say they are too good. But I, you know what? I've got trust issues at Everton, to be honest with you.
Do you?
I do.
Yeah, I know. It's Terry Max has kind of stated there's a need for something, some change. With a limited squad, with a limited selection of players to choose from which to choose. And you're working with the same manager, a manager who likes to kind of drill things through his players' heads. How much change do you foresee happening, and how much change actually can happen in this quick of a turnaround?
I don't really know. I mean, I hope he changes it insofar as he can. I think at this point now, I'd be looking to start thinking about next season in so far as to say, some of the players who might have a big role going forward need to just start playing now. We're like, no more wild card. Play Luckman every game. Play Calvert-Lewin as much as you can. I'd even maybe even go so far as to say play Kenny at right back now, because there's some things he can't really do nothing about. Like, you know, Baines had to play because even though he clearly wasn't fit because of Luca Dean's suspension. But as soon as we get Mina back, I'd put Mina straight back in the team and just let him settle in there, because I feel like our strongest defence this season was Mina and Keane next to each other. People seem to think that Zouma is ahead of Mina in the pecking order, and he may be, but I don't think he should be. That's not a slight on Zouma. I think Zouma's a good player, but I think the best partnership we've had this year has been Keane and Mina. I don't know. There's a lot of things that need to change. I mean, first and foremost, I think they need to change the formation. This 4-2-3-1 doesn't help a lot of the players. They seem slow, they seem laboured. It just doesn't work. Gylfi Sigurdsson seems a little bit like a spare part at times. And
yeah, I still think we're in the middle of an identity crisis. You know, I just think it's as simple as that.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. So that's my question, guys. If we change formation, I mean, how? How does that work with the players we have?
Make use of the central midfielders that we've got in role 4-3-3.
Mm-hmm. So how does that work? Does Sigurdsson actually? I mean, well, are you playing with Sigurdsson or someone else?
I'm on the same wavelength of Teddy, as I don't think Sigurdsson played particularly well against Wolves, and I think he merits right. time out. Check in on Idris Gueye, see where his attitude's at. I couldn't imagine him to be the type to turn down playing I don't think Davies has done too bad, and like Terry said, give these lads who are going to have a long term impact in the club, just start giving them games under the belt. So I'd roll with Davies.
Okay, so you think Gay, Davies, and Gomez?
I do as well. I mean, Sigurdsson's been a big player for us this season, but he needs a timeout now, as Max said. I think we need to. Well, if we are going to play him in the 4-3-3, I don't think he can play. I don't think he can play it with Gomez, but maybe he can if Gomez plays that pivot role like he did against Huddersfield. But they need to sort of freshen up the personnel, but stick with it. So if you're going to play Bernard, play him. Don't have him in and out. You know, play him on the left foot, Luka Dean. Get that partnership going again. And you know what? The biggest problem for me is not even. It's just some of the defenders are completely brain dead. Now you can say, 11 set pieces in the league and all that. Yeah, that is the manager's fault. I'm not an advocate for changing the manager. I could go into that long form, but that's a different video. But there's some things he can change, and the set pieces is one of them. You don't need transfer windows. You don't need patience and years to get defending set pieces right. But some of the, if you look at the three goals yesterday, I mean, Leighton Baines has clearly lost his man and is struggling to keep up with him, and we now know he was carrying his knock. So he's given away a cheap penalty on 6 minutes. Second penalty he's given away this season. Silva can't manage for that. His left back just gives away. His most experienced player on the pitch gives away an absolute freebie of a free kick. Michael Keane, I don't know what he's thinking or if he was thinking, but Kurt Zouma has got that ball when he commits the foul. Cheap foul for the free kick, which is something we're seeing every single time now. We give away an absolutely pointless, unnecessary foul, which puts us a goal behind because we can't defend the set piece. And then the third one, just a comedy of defending. It starts with Coleman, another experienced player, misplacing a pass under no pressure, and then it just leads to a goal. So I think they just need to strip the defence back to basics and just say, listen, stop giving away free kicks when there's no danger. If you have to, Luka Dean was serving a suspension because he committed a foul when he absolutely had to save a goal.
Yeah.
Now, we felt, at the time people were annoyed, but he's clearly saved a goal there. But then the week before against Millwall, he's given away when the play was going nowhere. He may as well have just handed them a shot at goal because if we can't defend set pieces, stop giving the opposition so many of them. First two, one, then the other, defend them better and then stop conceding so many of the set pieces. But I don't know how much you can change because centre-back-wise, he's going to have to play two out of the three, and they've not really proven this season, any of them, that they're a commanding-type centre-back who will take control. We haven't got that player, and we clearly, clearly need it.
I personally don't think the midfield gives them enough cover. I think particularly when you're rolling with Davies and Gomez. I know Gomez is a good shielder of the ball at times, but he's not, an absolute destroyer in terms that he'll hoover up absolutely everything. He does misplace the odd pass himself, and the ball breaks past him. That's why I think Idrissa Gueye is just so imperative to this side. So the sooner his attitude's in check, the better.
Yeah, I actually think a lot more of our main 11, our starting 11, or our first 14 players. I actually think we have personnel to be able to compete in this league. I really do. I think the center backs we have, I think we have three quality center backs that are starting level quality of Premier League, period. Now, I don't know if they're good enough to start for City. You know what I mean? However, I think they're actually good players. But I'm seriously thinking there's an issue right now. And I'm not a Silva out guy. I'm not a Silva out guy. I think we need more. I think we just need to continue staying the course. However, it's really impossible not to blame a system when you continually make the same mistake over and over and over and over again. I think Mina's a hell of a player. I think he just needs to adapt more. He just needs time. And the only way he's going to get that time is by playing. You know, we can, but supposedly he's been injured. You know, but right now is the time. Get that guy in. He's got to get experience right now. Yeah, I don't know, guys. It's I'm not a Silva L guy, but do I get the shouts? Yeah, I get them. I get them. Yeah. I'm not going to say you're wrong for saying it's unacceptable what you're seeing. Yeah. Do any of us sit there and watch us play right now and say, oh yeah, that was passion we just played right there?
No. I don't. Obviously, I know you weren't there, but obviously because they had the Goodison Cat came out and decided to do a lap. I think we got like 7 minutes at a time in the process, and when the official threw the ball off, you're just like, Jesus Christ, end it now. Like back in the day, you'd think, come on, bit of fight, 7 minutes at a time, yeah, we can pull a goal back or two. But now it's just like, oh, end it now. So the man of the match was the cat himself.
Yeah,
that was great. That I love cats. I'm not like hard caddy and cat lover. Me, I just, we've had a few cats over the years come on the pitch, and yeah, they must go on it. They must go on at night or something, and then get a bit of an air. Bit of an edge to go on during the day and then quickly regret it.
Goodison cats make me love cats. All right? I'm not a cat guy. I'm actually allergic to cats. And I actually had a roommate one time randomly just bring a cat home. Be like, yeah, we got a cat. I'm like, I'm allergic, man. Are you kidding me? And then I find out. I'm like, so is it a boy cat or a girl cat? Oh, it's a girl. I'm like, then why does it like seem like it's spraying our house? Take it to the vet. Oh, by the way, man, I found out that cat's a boy. What kind of boy? Are you serious? So, yeah, cats for me, I mix it. But the fact that there's always one, like, at Goodison, like, ready to jump on the field, that's a whole different level where I start loving them, you know? I will say, especially if they seem like they know when we need them.
I've just got a small problem with all the reactions of the cat. People were going, oh, black cat going across Everton. Black cats in the UK are good luck. It's an American thing, a bad luck. Yeah, but obviously people don't know that. But apparently UK black cats. I was always taught as a kid that black cats are good luck, and it's an American thing that they're bad because it's associated with Halloween.
But the idea of us having worse luck. Right. I'm sorry. I feel like a black cat comes by, it's like undoing. It's like two negatives equal a positive. We already have the bad luck. Give us, you know, let's break some mirrors and actually, you know, reverse the bad luck that we already have, maybe. two wrongs do make a right.
Some of this, I mean, we've touched on the game. It was awful. The cat actually is the only bright point apart from Gomez's goal. Did you see some of the like fantasy football like made a player for the cats that you could add to your team, and like BBC were doing commentary as if the cat was a player.
He got player analysis.
Yeah, he got player analysis. Like someone's done it as if he was on Match of the Day, so they had like the spotlight over him and the little circle around him, and then it was radio commentary going, drops the shoulder, jinx pass one. Oh, we should have a cat on every game. It's amazing.
Right now, it's like that's our joy.
Yeah, that's how bad it is.
Yeah, it is. And it's really hard to see, barring some kind of like lightning strike into Silva's brain where he all of a sudden has a huge breakthrough about what this squad needs. I agree with you guys about the whole Sigurdsson thing, by the way. My issue for a long time has been the fact that we didn't have anybody to really back him up. It's because it didn't seem like Davies was a natural backup. So the idea of having someone who could unlock a defense through the center rather than just shunting everything to the sides, that's one of the things I was expecting maybe for us to bring in during January. Mm. Now, I get why we didn't purchase anything, but that still leaves us with a similar problem. And at some point, when a player is just not performing, like if Richarlison's not playing well, we have people to back him up. We have some people to throw in. That's fine, because honestly, he has games where he needs to be pulled. All right? Sigurdsson's the same way. And you know what? You were talking about Dean giving away those silly fouls. Sigurdsson does it too. He gives away some of those dead balls.
They all do. Dean was just a good example for the Millwall game. He's not even one of the worst. They all do it. But I'm not a fan of it, as you know, long term. But maybe the answer is that three at the back that we did against Burnley. Maybe that can bring out a different. Because Sigurdsson was playing alongside Gomez in the middle for that because we didn't have Trezeguet. So whether it's Trezeguet alongside Gomez or Sigurdsson alongside Gomez with Gay on the bench, maybe give that a try. I mean, it won't really matter against City because it didn't work when we tried it at their ground. But maybe going forward, try that, and the three centre backs together might provide a little bit better defensively than the two. I don't know at this point. I think Silva needs to really shake it up, not just change the personnel in some positions in the same system. The system has to change. That 4-2-3-1 is hurting a lot of the players now.
Yeah, with our City preview, I'll break out my prediction for formation, the 11-0-0-0 formation that I think we need to just build the human wall, all right? Let's do this.
No, we don't.
Why are you saying no, we don't, like I'm serious? Yeah. Anyway, we're gonna go ahead and wrap up because, damn, we have to keep going. Christ. All right, so that's it for our Wolves reaction. We'll be following this up with a City preview. And basically, it's going to entail putting on your seatbelts. We've got a match preview. Wednesday, City comes to town. That's a thing that's going to happen, whether we like it or not. Right now, City's second in the table. You all know this. They're 59 points, 19-2-4. They recently they beat Arsenal 3-1, lost to Newcastle 2-1, and they beat Burnley 5-0 in the FA Cup. Their most recent, I guess it's the Arsenal match. They started it with kind of a weird lineup. Did you guys see that?
No, I just got the alerts, but Sergio Aguero, just what a striker. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And by the way, I'm pretty certain he scored it was his ribs, not his arm. Although in real time, it looked like he scored with his arm. It was weird.
I think he said after the match it was a handball. So
really?
He even admitted it in an interview. Yeah, he wasn't even like shy about it. Yeah, it was.
Because the angle that I saw, it looked like it hit the rib, and then it just went in. So I guess what had happened is it had to have hit the rib and skim off because it was not a direct kind of thing at all. Ugh. Too soon for handball goals, though. Too soon. No more of those. They ended up rolling with, like, I feel like it was Walker, Otamendi, and what's his name? Laporte. As, like, it was kind of three in the back, but then not really with wing backs. It was a bizarre, and Fernandinho was pulling back to kind of play almost like a center back whenever the opposition had the ball. It was a really weird system that Pep, imagine that, Pep being innovative and figuring things out and doing weird stuff you don't see a lot.
I know, that's what I said when I was speaking to Toffee Blues John before. I said, you know, the one sick and twisted positive I can possibly take from this game, as I am an avid Guardiola admirer, that is that, like, I just like seeing Everton coming up against the Guardiola team. See how we get on.
I just wish we had him mic'd up so I could listen to him rather than the commentators.
Yeah, true.
I would totally just love to hear him just, like, you know, chewing his team out, you know, mid game, you know.
Throwing his scarf.
Take the ball, pass the ball. Take the ball, pass the ball. You know, I just. you hear the space is here. You go here, okay? You pressure here. The space is here. You know, that's what I want. I would rather that stuff that's almost unintelligible. Yeah. That's.
You gotta say guys more than that. Everyone's guys.
Guys, it's here, guys.
Yes.
This is football, guys. This is. Oh man, yeah. I could. That was my favorite thing about that damn Man City show. Just I could listen to that guy, just great. He's like the part when he's like getting all annoyed with them. We are tired, fuck you. So good. I loved hearing him. Oh, hearing him just kind of go off, man. He gives a good rant.
Yeah.
So possible starters. It's weird because of that bizarre kind of formation they ran last time. It was like primarily like a bunch of attacking players that they just threw on the field besides their defense and Fernandinho. It was strange. I don't know if he's going to do that again. He might. All right. That's honestly, I don't know if we provide enough of an attacking threat where he would think he would need to change it, because it worked out well against Arsenal. Yeah. I don't know. But if he does change it, we'd be looking at Ederson, Walker, Stones, Laporte, Danilo. Danilo was the one that did not start, so you could see Bernardo Silva instead of Danilo, okay? Which is a strange substitution, but okay. De Bruyne, Fernandinho, David Silva, Sterling, Aguero, Sané. It's just a crazy world when Riyad Mahrez is coming off the bench. It's just, you know, they're loaded. We know it.
It's world-class players all over the place, isn't it? And, you know, someone's got to bring it up. We've been in this situation before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have.
It's not strictly the same, though, because if we lose, it might not affect anything, you know what I mean? Liverpool got quite a strong lead over them at the minute. I think people do, like, think back and... You know, we could possibly take points off City, but that'd help Liverpool. It's like, yeah, City now are not the City of then, and the Everton now are not the Everton of then. We were better then, and City weren't as good, which is hard to believe because they won the league. But whether we want to win or not, it doesn't matter, because let's be honest, the teams who take points off City are usually strong in defence or have a strong game in defence if they aren't strong in defence all the time. I don't think we've got it in us. You look at the defensive display, the three goals we conceded against Wolves, forget it. We're giving away penalties and stupid free kicks and passing to the opposition in our third of the pitch. It's just, unless we had a massive transformation overnight, we're not going to keep City out, and I don't think we're going to outscore them either. So I'll be honest, when we lose, which I feel it is a when, not an if, I won't hurt as much as the other defeats, because frankly, to suggest that we were desperate to beat City and help Liverpool out would be stretching a little bit too much. And then no matter what any of them say to you, in the roles reversed, they would be the same. They can. I know it hasn't happened. It might never happen. But if we were 5 points clear at the top of the league and City were chasing us, they would not want to win either. So don't take any of this nonsense that, it's an Everton, bitter Everton thing. BS, no chance. Every single other supporter in the same scenario with their local rivals would do the exact same thing, including them.
So that's the main discussion. That is the main discussion on Everton social media right now. It's not whether or not we're going to give City a game. That's not the question. It's, do we want to give City a game? And that's what I see more than anything with everything. My Twitter feed is full of people saying, you're lying if you say this, or you're lying and you're not a proper Everton supporter if you say this. It's very like contentious if you feel one way or the other. You know what I mean?
I remember a few years ago when Man United looked like they were going to win the league. I can't remember if they did or not, but Steven Gerrard played a through ball through to Drogba to hit United. I think it was Chelsea and United going for the league, and Gerrard suddenly, I think I'll pass a 45-yard ball back to the keeper. Oh no, there's Drogba, who's just scored, who's now he's gone top of the league. So when the shoe was on their foot, they did the same thing. So you can drop all this nonsense about they wouldn't do it and it's just us being small time, whatever it is. Nope, afraid not. Everyone does it, and if we were going for the Champions League or we were going to get relegated, maybe it feels differently. If I care more about Everton than Liverpool, I ever will about Liverpool. And if it affected us massively, beat City, even if it helps Liverpool. But what are we going to do? Secure eighth with this with a win here? Don't think so.
See, that was my question for you, Max. Is, let's say we actually do put in a performance, you know, which is just, Terry said off camera, would be just peak Everton for them to do that now. Mm-hmm. But if it is the kind of thing that kind of actually made them entertaining to watch again, a big turning point, gave them momentum going into the summer and into the next season, is a win worth it? And I ask, this knowing I'm talking to two guys that have to interact with Liverpool supporters every day and have to deal with that shit every day. Okay,
I've subsided. To be honest, I've half accepted within my own mind that they're going to win it anyway. So
yeah, I have. I accepted at Christmas that they're going to win it. So it's not something I'm particularly worried about. If you could guarantee me that a win would do all that, sorry, I know you'd asked Max, but I'd take the win if you could promise me it would mean all that you just said, but it wouldn't. It wouldn't be this massive catalyst that makes us suddenly turn things around and would kick us on next season. I think that's
it's a huge hypothetical. I'm just trying to figure out how you guys' brains work with this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Because it's interesting. Because like I said, I don't have to see these guys and I don't have to take their shit in person as much. It's just social media, and I can turn that off if I want. But you have it like right there. You know what I mean? So yeah. I have a big difficulty ever like cheering against our team and not pulling for us. So the idea of hoping we go out and just drop trowel and squeeze out a turd on midfield, I don't want that. I have trouble with that. However, again, if we go out there, and again, City is a fun team to watch. That's another thing that Max mentioned off, you know, I don't know if it was off camera or on camera, but you said we'll at least be watching a really quality managed Pep Guardiola squad. And it's a joy to watch them play because they play pretty football. They do, you know? So I'm conflicted, very much so. yeah. Anyway, let's predict, guys. Let's predict and get out of here and get on to the starting 11. Terry, what's the score?
3-1 Man City.
3-1 City. Maxwell House, what do you got?
2-0 Man City.
2-0 Man City. And I've got 3-0 Man City. All right. We're positive Peters over here. Yeah. It's watch. Our squad is going to somehow watch this video and go be like, we're going to prove those guys wrong.
We'll see.
Yeah. They would. They haven't watched in weeks. All right, guys. So I guess that's it for our City preview. We're going to follow it up with a starting 11 segment, so don't nobody go nowhere. Starting 11 segment. What's Marco going to do? It's a weird one. It's just a weird situation. It's a quick turnaround. The match is Wednesday, and they recently played on Saturday. So not as much rest and playing against, well, a good squad. Terry, who are your starters? Or who are Marco Silva's starters, in your view?
Silva's starters, I think, will be Pickford in goal, Coleman right back, Luca Dean left back, Keane and Zuma. I don't think Jack Yelker and Mina are going to be fit. I'd like to see Mina back in the team, but he wasn't fit enough to even make the bench on Saturday. He's not going to be fit enough to play or at least start on Wednesday. I think we'll see Idrissa Gueye come back into the team personally. With such a good attacking team we're going to play, and it's been a little while now it's been nearly a week since the PSG deadline day saga. I think we'll see Garner come back in. So Gomez, Garner, can't see Silva changing the formation, so I think he'll have a three in front of those of Lookman, Sigurdsson and Bernard. I think Bernard will come back in. And because he played well against City in the reverse fixture, and I think we'll see Calvert-Lewin up front because he always seems to play well against City, and he does a good job being that sort of lone forward chasing defensive clearances. So that's my 11. I think that's the 11 we'll see.
All right, Max.
I've not done what Marco would do. I've let me creative instincts run riled.
You have a tendency to do that. You're kind of like, well, you know, I don't know what Marco's going to do, but here's what Max does. And he like pulls out a blueprint, you know, and rolls it.
It gives me a creative outlet, you know what I mean? So allow it. Pickford in goal, Luca Dina at left back, Keane and Zuma at centre half, because as Terry said, I don't think Mina's fit enough yet, although I would like to see Mina. John Joe Kenny at right back, Gay, Gomez and Davies at three in midfield, obviously Gay being the anchor and Shield in the back four, Bernard on the left, Calvert-Lewin through the middle and Luckman on the right, and you can obviously, you know, you can switch the wings up as you please.
Mm-hmm. And my lineup is the exact same as Terry's. Pickford, Coleman, Keane, Zuma, Dean, Gomez and Gay, Sigurdsson, Luckman, Bernard, DCL. You know, that's, yeah. I don't know. I was trying to decide if Richarlison gets a nod there. That's my tough, because I feel like my tough decision is the fact that I feel like there's a decent amount of Brazilian and South American players. And I was thinking like maybe he would start Richarlison and Bernard because they're both Brazilian guys. Maybe there's some familiarity there. Maybe that's so initially I went with that. However, I think if you need a spark, Luckman is a fine place to start. That's what I would do. And DCL as well. You know, DCL when he's had a little break, when he comes back in, he tends to work pretty hard. And he tends to pressure well. I'll be curious if we, Max, we mentioned this when we were talking last time, and it's something that Terry has mentioned, I feel like, 12 times in the past, but are playing out of the back with the center backs. The last time I saw it really, really spectacularly blow up in our face.
Man City away.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of right now. And that's that's a concern because they pressed so hard and they just made us make so many mistakes in the back.
Yeah, because of common occurrence in that game was Pickford the player out to say Yerry Mina to look to play out and he just ended up giving it back to Jordan Pickford and Jordan Pickford to launch it up. I think that's a stylistic issue with Pickford in relation to the defence, but for this game, playing Calvert-Lewin, having Bernard and Luckman run off him, see if, you know, launch if he, you know, hopefully he finds his rhythm with his distribution. Try and see if you can find the head of Calvert-Lewin a few times and see if you can get Bernard and Luckman peeling off the shoulder if we're lucky enough to get such breaks. But I don't know. As I said, I do feel like it's going to be a fasten your seatbelts and wait to get strangled with possession type of game.
That game at Man City and a couple of other games I've seen them play against other teams, they actually don't like balls over the top of their defence. It's one of the ways you can hurt them. We did it once or twice in that game and then stopped doing it. It was ridiculous. Like that's how you hurt Man City, because they play such a high line that if you do a ball over the top and then run behind with pace, which we have got, like Calvert-Lewin and Luckman and Richarlison, even Bernard, all decent turns of pace, but I just don't think anyone sort of cottoned on that's a weight that you can get at the City back five, because if you do that, you cut out Fernandinho, and if you try and play through them, he's just going to mop you up all day long. But if you do the ball over the top, completely takes him out of the equation, and then you're just running behind John Stones and Walker, who are playing 50 yards up the pitch anyway.
Yeah.
Player I haven't mentioned. I mean, that's Fernandinho is a player that I don't know if I've ever in the past noticed how impactful he can actually be. And for some reason, there was one game in particular this season, it was a big one. He just took over and he was everywhere.
Gareth Liverpool.
Yeah, he looked good.
Best defensive midfielder in the league. Possibly in the world.
Like I know he's a good player, and I've seen it before. It's just one of those things where you see him have a game like that, and you're like, "Damn, that is world class."
Guardiola does it though. Look at Busquets.
Yeah,
you've just that off my tongue. I was waiting for Guardiola has always had that player, and Busquets was at Barca, that absolute, he's just the key to how they play, because the creative players can't play when he's there. And Busquets, I think, is the only one in the world who's better at it than Fernandinho. They're the top two in the world at that position.
Oh, and one other thing, because Max will get very annoyed if I don't mention Gundogan, because he loves him, you know, in a very healthy way. He's just a heady, smart player whose distribution radius is, pretty phenomenal. Really quick, because we're talking about all their players, we're not even talking about our players. What's the possibility of a formation shift here, guys?
As I said, I think it's not so much a knee-jerk reaction, but I think it's got to happen in response to the fact that we're conceding, like those goals conceded against Wolves, were all things that we've seen too often before. Mm. So I feel like in that sense, he owes us some sort of change.
Yeah, I know, Terry, you mentioned the possibility of that back three happening. That's a little more drastic than just kind of, drag an additional midfielder back. That changes a lot. What do you think? Yeah. You think Silva's actually thinking of going that crazy?
I think he would if he could. I doubt he can.
Oh, if Mina's not healthy.
Mina, Jagielka are both injured, and he hasn't got whole game around anymore, because he did it in the away game for Man City, the first time he went to a back three all season. So I think if he could, he would, but I think he'll bring Gay back in as the defensive change that he's going to make. I'm like Max, I'd like to see Kenny start over Coleman, but I just don't think he will. This game is probably not the game to start trying all new things, because if they don't work, it'll sort of, people push back against it and go, why is he sticking with that? We just got beat 5-0 or whatever it is. So, or if he puts a young player, he starts Kenny and he gets absolutely annihilated down that left-hand side, then next week he's going to be poor as well, because, it's going to shatter the confidence. I think this game's going to, he's probably just going to stick to what he's been doing, and then you'll probably see the change of the game after.
Well, and Silva can't really win in that instance either, unless the player does well. You leave Coleman in and we lose. Why do you leave Coleman in? And then he throws Kenny in, and we lose. It's like, why did he change that? Why didn't he go with the experienced player? It's just, that's exactly right. It's the pressure of the position. You know what I mean? I'll be curious though. I the changes he makes, I think, will tell us a lot about his mentality right now as a manager. That's what I'm most fascinated by, is what he changes, if anything. Anyway, anything else on this, guys? It's one of those fixtures, I was, for a while there, I was really looking forward to it. And just because I like the big matches for Everton, but right now it's just such a crap time. So no, I'm not gonna miss it though. Still gonna be at home, ready to watch. All right, so I guess that's it for our starting 11 segment. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for If You Know Your History, the Everton-based quiz segment that pits Terry versus Max in a cage match of Toffee's wit and might. That's right. So we tried to do a similar type of quiz to this, I think it was last week, and it blew up in our face because some of our numbers were inconsistent with what the actual answers were on the old internets. So what happened, guys, is we had a little inconsistency. It was about international caps that our players had. And Max and Terry kept guessing some things. And I was like, wait a minute, these numbers seem odd. And Max was this close to winning. He was super close. But then we were like, hold on, let's look these up. And turns out the numbers were inconsistent, whatever. Well, it turns out Quizmaster John had other ideas. He was saying the quiz should be the amount of international caps the players got when they were at Everton.
All right.
So essentially, we are going to try this again. This is the international caps quiz take two. pretty certain we're going with different names. If there is a repeat of the names, then guys, you should get it right. Just saying. All right. So for those of you listening, basically I'll be flipping a coin and one of these guys gets to choose whether or not they want to go first or second. And then to be fair, we probably should go back and forth. But this is more of a Price is Right thing. They'll try to guess the number of caps and whoever's closest, they are the one who gets it right. And yeah. We're not so much worried about going over. If you're closer, that's fine. Whatever. All right? We're not going to be totally the stickler about Price is Right rules. All right? So... Max, call it. This is my memory card. Heads, tails, what do you got?
I'll mix it up. I've had a weird couple of days. I'll go heads.
Heads, and it is heads. All right, Max. It's not a huge advantage, but first
second,
or second?
Please.
Second.
Second.
All right. Cue intense. Well, actually, you know what? This could be Spanish Flea. I don't know. We'll have to see. Cue quiz music. How about that? And there it is. La, la, la. All right, so... Terry, how many international caps did James McFadden get while he was at Everton?
He was at Everton a couple of years, so I'm going to go with 14.
14, okay.
I'll say 20.
20. The correct answer, gentlemen, 33. 33.
Yeah, I thought there were a few more.
So, that's one for Max. All right. Next, Max. Ramiro Funes Mori.
Oh, he's played left back. He's for Argentina as well, so I think he's got a few. I will go for 35.
35. Terry, what do you got?
I'm going to go for less because I feel like he was injured for a while, for more or less a whole season. And
True.
I'll go for 20 on this one.
20. And the correct answer, Terry, good reasoning there. The correct answer was 18. So we're knotted back up, one apiece. All right, Max. Darren Gibson.
Ooh. He's had his troubles in his career, hasn't he? So I don't think it'll be as many as it should. 45.
Okay. Terry?
Again, I feel that's way too high. Not for his overall caps, but just at Everton. Shame about how his career went as it happens, because I thought he was a very good player. When his head was on straight, I'm going to go with, again, less. I'm going to go with 30.
30?
Yeah.
Since this was just while he was at Everton?
Yeah. I didn't think about that again.
Yeah.
Oops.
This is a shockingly low number. I was expecting higher. 10.
Yeah.
10. So, Terry, you squeaked that one out. Next, Terry again. Jelovic.
He was at Everton for what? 2.5 years? He played a tournament in the summer. We got him. So there's 3. I'm going to go with 16.
16. All right. Max.
A little bit lower. I'll go for 13.
On the dot, Max.
Because Mandzukic, you know what I mean? Probably played more games than him.
Good strike. On the nose.
That was right on the nose, dude. All right, so Max, your turn. Gary Lineker.
Oh, I've looked up his statistics the other day. Funnily enough, he got like 30 goals and 40 Everton appearances. Not sure if he was at Everton when he went to the World Cup, though. I'm going to say 15.
Okay. 15 for Max. Terry?
What year was he at Everton again? 87?
Yeah.
He wasn't there for the World Cup, because that was 90, wasn't it?
Hmm.
And he scored a lot for us, but...
I only had, like, the season.
Yeah, he only had one season, so I'm going to say something a lot lower just because of the time he was at Everton, so I'm going to say six.
Six. And what did you say, Max?
Like 15 or 15. Something, so he's probably...
Okay. Pretty close, guys, but Max gets this one. It was 11.
Oh, interesting.
11. So, but that one's pretty darn close. Max pulls ahead 3-2. This is pretty close, though, guys. Terry, Ada McGeady.
Jesus. Goals while he was at Everton.
But caps while he was at.
Oh, sorry, caps. I was thinking goals because I think he scored like one or two goals. I was so surprised by that Lineker one that I actually forgot how we were playing this game. right. In fact, I think I may have answered as if it was goals. I don't know what's going on. I'm delirious. Right, caps. Well, he was at Everton McGeady. 10.
10? Max.
I remember Europe on fire. When I'm Wally, Everton only played in a good running game for Ireland. Then I'm going to go a little bit higher. I'll say like 16.
16. Correct answer is 21. Correct answer is 21. It is 4-2. If Max gets this one, he wins. Terry, you need it. All right. Next one, Max, Radzinski.
That's winding the clock back a little bit. When I was a little bit younger, I'm not entirely sure. I was, say 10.
Okay. Terry, you need this one. What's your guess?
Fun fact, first of all, the first player I ever got on the back of an Everton shirt was Thomas Radzinski. I'm going to go 20.
Oh, you went the wrong way, Terry.
Oh, no.
It was 9.
Oh.
I was going to say, if you do that Price is Right thing, Terry, you're going to have it. So Max, Max gets the win. There were some others, but frankly, if I go through all the rest of these, I'm going to be late to picking up my kids. So yeah, we need to wrap up. Plus, this means John can save these for another time. So Quizmaster John, you're welcome. Max, congratulations. Terry, condolences. Max, your golden goose is you get to pick the track that we close with. What are we closing with?
There Is a Light That Never Goes Out by the Smiths.
Why?
I like the Smiths. I've been listening to them quite a bit mm-hmm. more recently. So, yeah, I've got a personal choice as to why I like the song a lot. I don't know. It's just an excellent song.
Yeah. So, Describe it as though you were talking to a 5-year-old.
It's just like a melancholy British song, like 80s boy band, you know, heartbreak holds a lot of it.
Yeah, understand. So this was used in a movie. It'd be a sad part.
Definitely be a British movie.
Oh yeah,
yeah, one of them.
All right. Well, there is a light that never goes out. So, when I want to celebrate feeling down, I'm going to listen to this pod and remember. Because sometimes you want that. Sometimes you do. Just saying, that is a thing. Because I feel down a lot. So the idea of just being like, you know, I'm going to listen to something that just allows me to wallow for a little while. Something that understands how I feel, so you can connect. That makes sense. I'm with you.
Tell me about it. Yeah.
All right. So as we listen to There Is a Light That Never Goes Out by the Smiths, it's time to end the Toffee Blues podcast. If you've been listening, we really appreciate it. Thanks so much. Please subscribe to us if you haven't already. We'd appreciate that as well. And check us out if you want to look at our faces. If you're one of those face people, look at our YouTube channel. Check that out. because you know we filmed this as well. Also, if you want more Terry, check out the Liverpool Echo Fan Jury. He appears there. If you want some Max, he'll be on the Top for Blues website and a few other places. Check both these guys' Twitter. Their details are in the description of the podcast. Follow the Top for Blues on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I think I'm done plugging. No more plugging. I'm finished. Gentlemen, thanks so much. Terry, great as always, buddy.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks very much.
And Max, thanks a lot for giving me another down tune, you know.
To the misery, grace as always.
Guys, thanks so much, man. It's always good to talk to you guys, even when it's one of those times where we sort of, you know, hurt. Yeah. All right, much love. 3 points, ? Don't know. We'll see. Do you want it or don't you? Don't know. All right, Wednesday onward. Much love. Bye.